Pray. Heavenly Father, we gather together this evening, sharing our griefs, our hurts, our sadness. And we pray that as we come to your word this evening, we might meet you through it and know your comfort and your hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When was the last time you thought, if only? If only I hadn't shut the door and left my keys inside. If only I hadn't put my bag down, I wouldn't have left it behind. If only I'd been more aware and not reversed the car into that post behind me. The occasional frustrations we've all experienced. The split-second actions we wished we could reverse. That sickening sense of realization and frustration and regret. But of course, those are comparatively minor things. Things that we can sort out with time, annoying or costly as they may be. But what about the bigger if-onlys? The life-transforming events or losses? The things we'd hoped and prayed for, that didn't happen. The adjustments we're forced to make by events beyond our control. The grief at the loss of a person we loved. For Martha and Mary in our passage this evening, that if only is made all the more acute by Jesus. The one with the power to prevent their brother's death, but he hadn't. Who had performed other miracles, but not the one they'd wanted him to, only a few days earlier. In this passage from John chapter 11, we see a series of responses to the loss of Lazarus. From Martha and Mary to Jesus, at the heart of the encounter, Jesus to the sisters, and finally, from the wider community towards Jesus. And each of those responses give us food for thought about the big if-onlys that we've experienced, that we will experience. While sisters Martha and Mary share the same sentiment, and individually they express it to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. On the one hand, it's a statement of faith, an acknowledgement of their belief in Jesus as Lord. It's a matter of fact. Jesus could have prevented Lazarus' death, but he hasn't. But behind the words, we can't help but feel the pain. They cry out to Jesus, if only. The two sisters are very different, despite their shared sentiment. They each have different ways of coming to Jesus in the face of their grief. Martha rushes out to meet him as soon as she hears he's coming. She's the active one. She takes the initiative. She can't just sit around and wait. Mary, on the other hand, stays at home. She waits for Jesus to arrive. Martha engages with Jesus in conversation about the nature of their faith and hope. Mary falls at Jesus' feet and weeps. Neither right nor wrong, but different. Different responses that reflect their different personalities. They are each true to who they are in the face of their grief. At times of pain and grief, we can be worried by others' expectations of us, anxious about ways we should and shouldn't respond. But here we see that we can come to God and simply be ourselves, come as we are. And that includes coming with our questions, with our faith, with our lack of faith, with our doubts, coming with our pain and our grief and expressing it to Him. In the children's book, Going on a Bear Hunt, Michael Rosen wrote, "Uh-oh, a forest, a big, dark forest. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh no, we've got to go through it." Grief can feel like a big, dark forest. But at the heart of this story, at the heart of this passage from John's Gospel, we see the light that can pierce the darkness of that forest. And Jesus' response to Martha and Mary is surprising in many ways. He didn't go when they first asked for his help earlier. He goes now, although his disciples have warned him not to, because of the threat from those who want to kill him. Details that are important, because this passage isn't simply about Lazarus' death. It's also about Jesus. At the heart of this story is his story, his ministry, who he is, and why he came, what he's come to do. Martha and Mary and Lazarus are part of that bigger picture. And we too are part of God's bigger picture. Jesus responds to Martha's initial, "if only." "Your brother will rise again." And she accepts that within the Jewish understanding of the day, that there will be a future resurrection at the end of all things. But Jesus doesn't just leave it there at that level of abstract belief. He encourages her to engage not just with doctrine, not just with the future, but with him. Then and there. The reality and hope of the resurrection is embodied in who he is, the man standing in front of her. The deepest and most painful experiences are part of why he is there. And he encourages Martha to move from "if only" to "if Jesus." Even though things haven't happened as she'd hoped, even though it doesn't make sense, if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then there is a hope bigger than Martha can quite grasp. Jesus tells her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" That question that still stands for each one of us today. And Martha affirms her faith in who he is, but still she isn't anticipating what he will do. For Martha and for Mary, there was a very particular miracle to come when Jesus raised Lazarus back to life. It was a great sign of who Jesus is and pointed ahead to his own death and resurrection. And so for Martha and Mary, the past 4 days of grief and pain were transformed into celebration. But of course, Lazarus would die again. And Martha and Mary, if they outlived him, would still mourn him. But by that miracle, Jesus showed what he would achieve for all who put their faith in him. Showed that he had the victory over death, would overcome it once and for all by his death and resurrection. Jesus met with Martha and Mary. As they took their grief to him, they encountered new hope, new possibilities, new life through him. Into the midst of the mess, and the pain and the grief, Jesus came and showed them God's future. Showed them the key to it through faith in him. The same key that's available to us as well. Jesus knew what was about to come, what he was about to do for Lazarus. But as Mary comes to him and he sees her and the others with her weeping and mourning, the text tells us he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Two short words that encapsulate the most profound truth of who God is. What's your picture of who God is? 12-year-old Heather had been longing for a bike all year long. On Christmas Day, she couldn't wait. But amidst all the presents, no bike. No explanations and no bike. And the day passed even more slowly than usual. She was upset throughout. And later that afternoon, having finally settled down to watch TV, suddenly her parents made her get up and dragged her out into the snow for a walk. Furious, she stormed out of the back door and nearly missed it. There, leaning against the shed outside, the longed-for bike. A surprise, because it hadn't come until then. And appreciated all the more, because she thought it wasn't going to happen. But years later, as an adult, she reflected back on that day, on her own reactions. If she hadn't got the bike, would her parents have been any less loving, any less generous parents? What's your picture of who God is? Jesus wept at the pain and grief of Mary and Martha and those who mourned with them. He was deeply troubled by their grief. The one through whom the world was made wept at the graveside of his friend, wept at the grief of his friends and family, wept alongside them, shared in their suffering. But his tears also point ahead to his own coming death and to its necessity for the sake of the whole world. Those two words, so profound, reflecting so much of the mystery and of the wonder of the gospel. Jesus wept. The God who enters in and shares our suffering. The God of surprises who does the unexpected. Who may not necessarily act as we want him to or we think he should. But the God who died so that we might live. Who encourages us this evening to move from if only to if Jesus. And that brings us to the end of our passage, to those final verses, 36 and 37. To the final response we see in this passage, that of the wider community who've gathered to mourn Lazarus and share in the sisters' grief. And as they look on, they have mixed reactions. See how he loved him, some observe. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Well, the answer to that, of course, becomes only too clear. But in their reactions, we see the potential for our own. Will we recognize his love, even though he doesn't always act as we would choose? Or will we doubt his power or his love? We can still come with our questions, our doubts, and our pain. But will we move from if only to if Jesus, trusting in him as our Saviour, our Redeemer, the one who has gone through death for us so that we might be raised to new life in him? Mary and Martha's story was part of God's bigger story. And in Jesus, we can discover God's meaning, his new possibilities for our lives, even in the midst of our pain and our grief. Jesus wept, and tonight he shares too in our grief. But he came and bore our sufferings so that we might share in his life. Does your picture of God fit with those tears of Jesus?